about vagina. WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, are you hot?
See people sweating, hear people wheezing, feeling hot, hot, hot.
Oh, this guy's good.
I smell your armpits. You must eat lots of garlic. It's the opposite of cold out, which is hot, hot, hot. It's not the heat so much as the humidity. And you boom, 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 boom. And you boom, boom, boom. Candyman tempting the thoughts of a sweet tooth.
Fade out.
Bye-bye.
The Don and Mike Show.
Broadcasting from In of Doors, the Don and Mike Show.
All right, here we go. Time now to my friend for a real pleasure. I'm a fan of Ed O'Neill. I know he wants to push this HBO show that we all like. John's from Cincinnati.
He's an interesting character on that show.
Well, let's face it. When Married with Children first came on, other than All in the Family, I really don't think there was a show in my lifetime that made me drop my jaw and go, Jesus Christ. First off, it was my family. Second,
it was. I remember you talking about that.
I mean, at the time, Al Bundy, there had never been anybody like Al Bundy.
Right, exactly. Right?
There still is nobody like Al Bundy.
No, a once-in-a-lifetime character.
Anyway, here he is now, star of John from Cincinnati on HBO Sunday nights, the great Ed O'Neill.
Hello,
hey,
Ed.
Hey, the great Ed O'Neill.
You are. Yeah. I mean, I am a mega fan. As I was just talking with the boys outside, also like your bits in Wayne's World.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't forget, Ed was the guy in Stan Makita's donut shop.
Oh, that's right, the manager of the donut shop. I forgot about that.
That's right, the manager.
Hey, Ed, pleasure to have you with us. Before we talk about your HBO show,
sure.
When you got way back when Fox Broadcasting was just starting, when you got that whole Al Bundy thing, how did you react? Did you think it was going to fly? What did you think?
Well, I was living in New York at the time. I had a little apartment in the Village with my wife. And I thought it was, I mean, I made a joke. I said, you know, I think they bought it for 6 episodes, and they were going to shoot it around Christmas time. So I thought, well, it's a nice Christmas, you know, payday, and it's 6 little episodes, and then that'll be the end of it. You know, I said, I know this. Well, you know, I have to understand, no one knew what Fox even was. I mean, I thought they made movies, you know,
right?
And they were telling me that they were going to try to be the new network, and I said, yeah, good luck, you know, and this thing will be, you know, it'll air and it'll be canceled and that'll be the end of it. That's what I thought.
And how many years was Married with Children on for, Ed?
11.
11
years. And, yeah. You know, I mean, it just really kind of groundbreaking. And really, if you look back at the history of the Fox network, I mean, it was shows like that. It was that show and The Simpsons. That was it. I mean, that's what got that network on the map. It really
did. Well, there was a couple of years there. Actually before The Simpsons, because, you know, if you remember, The Simpsons was the cartoon that opened the
Tracy Ullman.
Ullman show.
Right, that's right, right.
And so before that became a show, our show was the only show that was kind of keeping Fox in the black.
Right.
Because they were trying a lot of things, and you know, nothing was really working for them
I'm trying to think back to Married with Children, where there, you guys got a lot of heat also, didn't you, at the beginning?
Yeah. There was a housewife in Michigan that was on a stair climber or something.
Yeah.
She got offended by... Actually, what the story that I was told was that it was a joke that she heard Al say about middle-aged women that offended her. It was something like, what's the difference between older women and dog do?
What?
The older they get, the easier they are to pick up.
A classic joke.
She's on the Stairmaster, you know, and she struck her the wrong way.
And is it or is it not true that that you were up for the role of Sam on Cheers?
I was. But that's exaggerated because, I had the script, and originally Sam was an ex-football player.
Instead of a baseball player.
Yeah, it wasn't a baseball player. And I could never figure out why why they went to baseball, because I always thought that, you know, the relationship between the coach and the player is more interesting in football than it is in baseball.
All yeah. right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
More like a father-son thing. I don't
okay.
know. It's
right.
usually because football is such a violent game. But because Ted Danson's not is a pretty physical guy, you know.
Yeah, but Ted Danson could never have been Al Bundy.
Well, you know.
Hey, it worked out great.
you know how that is. Once you start doing something, then it's hard to imagine someone else if it's successful, you know.
Although, you know, you did a good job, Ed, like with the Wayne's World stuff, of breaking away from Al Bundy. I love you as Al Bundy. But you're also equally good on this HBO show. Can you explain the plot of John from Cincinnati?
And then I want to ask you about your character, because I still haven't figured you out yet.
No, I can't explain the plot of John from Cincinnati. I mean, the whole thing, you know, David Milch, who's the creator and writer and producer, you know, he did Deadwood and NYPD Blue for all those years, also Hill Street Blues. Guy's probably the best writer in the business, in the television business, for sure.
It's an amazing story.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah, I mean, David is a real interesting guy, and I think that the show is so. I mean, I don't. You know, it's John is a strange character, as you know,
to say the least, right?
But it's not. I don't think religious. I think that he is from somewhere, but you know, wherever he's from, this is no big deal. You know. It's something like that.
When I watch your character on this show, Ed, it seems, you know, the first, and I've got, I'm behind on my TiVo, but I watched the first couple of episodes, and
yeah.
you, it's hard to figure you out. I mean, I'm wondering, I mean, because I go from one extreme, thinking you're like a challenged guy, to another thing thinking, hey, this guy's ready to really completely snap. And
didn't
then I
think he was like a Sling Blade guy when you first saw him?
I thought he was a Sling Blade guy.
That's not a put down.
He's a retired cop.
Okay, but that's not made indelibly clear in the first couple of episodes.
No, it is.
It is. Did
really?
I miss?
Sure.
What?
Yeah, he's at the police station and raising hell and saying when he worked there.
But hold on, Ed. That's when I said, oh, okay, he was connected, and I got the impression maybe post-traumatic stress syndrome, that type of thing. Am I accurate with that? Or?
No, it's a kind of an early dementia.
Okay, an early dementia. Now I understand a little bit more.
Yeah, because he lives alone. He's a widower. And he's having some problems, you know, negotiating traffic, and you know, as actually, I mean, apparently it's quite common, you know, and people stay home a lot then because they don't, you know, they're not confident.
Oh, I get it. Okay, so you got okay. And our producer, who's a huge fan of the show, wanted me to ask you, how is your character connected to that family? Because he doesn't understand.
Well, he's just friends with them over the years. I mean, there is a an episode. I think it's three or four. I don't know which one, but
okay.
He's talking to the bird, you know.
Right. Yeah. I remember that.
And he says, when I busted Butchie, and my darling Lois said, "Is that the Yost boy who used to help me with my groceries?"
Gotcha.
So I cut him a break. Because of her.
Okay.
Keep an eye on him because I put him back in society.
Okay. All right. Thank you for clearing that up for us.
It's an amazing show.
And he knows the father. And I mean, he knows the family.
Right.
And then because the father was such a, you know, got in so much trouble with the drugs and so forth, then Sean came into his life because...
That's the little
he
boy.
He needed like a father figure for a while, you know, to steady him
I
out.
I mean, for people who haven't seen John from Cincinnati.
It's hard to explain,
It would seem to me, Ed, going in and pitching a show like John from Cincinnati would be an incredibly difficult task.
Well, there's never been anything like it
right.
done. And Milch is not a guy who panders at all to the audience. You know,
right.
he'll basically say, look, you want to come along on this trip.
Right.
Come along. If you don't.
It's pretty fascinating. It's got a little supernatural element in it. It's got a little, you know,
well,
it's got a surfer element.
I mean, from what I've been, because I know 10 episodes.
Right.
So I can tell you for sure that the five, we've aired five.
Right.
And the five coming up are, if anything, a lot better. I mean, they're really good.
Okay. All right.
Now where it goes, I mean, I can't really say, but it's kind of like a story about redemption.
And what about the freedom of being on HBO and then follow that up with, my gosh, your show came on right at the right time. The Sopranos is going off. I'm not really a big fan of Big Love. I like the night Entourage is on and your show is on.
Right.
Have you thought that if you get enough of an audience like us, of guys like us, that you could have the run on HBO that these other shows have? And what about the fact that you can do anything on HBO?
Well, first of all, it's a great feeling. Well, you know, the idea that, well, you know, the show is, like last week, we went up another 15%.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going up every week, which is a great sign. But the because I think the word of mouth on, you know, people are starting to say, you got to see this show, it's weird, you know. That's great. And the idea of the work on HBO is great because you've got a lot of freedom, you know. I mean, you really can do just about anything.
And the show is, you're saying, it's not a religious show, and obviously
no.
It isn't. But it is certainly a spiritual show, right?
Well, it's, spiritual in the sense that...
That something's going on.
I mean, let me put it this way.
Okay.
Instead of saying, I mean, of course you can use the word spiritual, that's mm-hmm. fine. And it's accurate. And it's just as accurate to say it's a very human kind of show in which, you know, people learn in some way, manner, shape, form, that we need each other.
Oh.
You know, that we're not alone out there. You know, that in other words, that this little community, which is a pretty dysfunctional little community, you know, begins to, you know, each character starts out with quite a long way to go.
And you get to look at Rebecca De Mornay every
day. Yeah, that's
something. You know who else is outstanding on that show is the guy that was in Double Jeopardy who's that guy?
Brian.
But what's his
I don't remember.
You mean Butchie?
Yeah, what's his real name, though?
Brian Van Holt.
Didn't know his name, right? What a great...
He plays Sean's father, you know, Butchie the Beast.
What a good cast you have on
tremendous,
that show as
tremendous
well.
Tremendous cast, and Brian is doing, I think, just a wonderful job.
Well,
you know, it's a lot of fun because... And then, of course, working with Dave, you know... you know, he's such a creative guy. You know, I mean, we.
Hey, Ed,
so much
Ed, you got a daycare center in the back there? That sounds. It sounds like it's festive.
Yeah, wait, hang on a second.
Where you at, Ed?
Elsa? Elsa? Yeah, there's a little 1-year-old running around.
That's adorable.
Yeah,
I love hearing that.
I have a 1-year-old daughter.
Oh, you do? Congratulations.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Good for you.
Hello,
honey. How you doing? Oh, what a cute little thing.
How did that happen, Ed?
That is a long, long story.
Okay.
It's even stranger than John from Cincinnati.
Wow. Well, listen, Ed is...
And I have an 8-year-old, too.
Oh, good for you.
Two girls, yeah.
It is really a pleasure talking to you. You show John from Cincinnati Sunday night, 9 o'clock on HBO. Al Bundy, Ed O'Neill, the great Ed O'Neill. Really a nice time talking to you.
I'm happy to talk to you guys, and... thanks for having me on.
And really, good luck with John from Cincinnati. Yeah. Hope it lasts a long time.
Well, thanks a lot. Thanks an awful lot.
One last question.
Yeah.
Ed, we talked about like the religious part of the show, which is to be interpreted by anybody who watches it. But
sure.
Do you think that someone who doesn't believe in God could be a fan of that show?
Oh, sure. Because
thank you.
Absolutely.
I don't.
First of all, if you don't believe in God...
talk to Buzz Burbank. Hi, Buzz.
Hi. That's our newsman. He's an atheist.
Our newsman,
no,
Buzz,
I mean,
does not.
If you don't believe in God, this
you're going
is
to hell.
You believe in the universe, right?
Right.
Buzz, do you believe
the
in
galaxy,
the universe?
Absolutely.
You know, or the possibility that there are other people out there.
Sure.
Or other entities out there.
Yeah, see, there are a lot of things going on.
Then you're right in the ballpark.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Hey, he gave you a free pass,
thank
Buzz.
Thank you, Mr. O'Neill.
Right. No, I mean, you know, I mean, I could be one. I could be on your team.
All right.
You know what I mean?
All right. Nice talking to you, Ed.
Okay, guys.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mellow guy.
Yeah.
Little 1-year-old. How old would Ed be? I didn't get a chance to
I thought he was
that.
Like doing a Larry King thing, but if he
No,
has,
he's not that old, certainly.
Well, keep in mind that
50s, I'm thinking.
Married with Children was it 20 years ago
80,
now?
87.
John?
He's 61.
61.
Wow. He's great.
That's pretty good.
61.
That's spunky.
Yeah, that means
you can't spell spunky without spunk.
That's right.
He had a kid at 60.
The amazing thing is his wife is...
What?
His wife is 82.
Stop it. You know, you have to get that in. Meanwhile, Mike was so close to addressing the fact that he wants to have another child.
Stop it.
You looked at me and you said he had a child at 61.
No, I think about the older guys. Of course you do.
Sure.
Of course you do.
Sure.
Yeah. Too many. Yeah. But he also plays a character with dementia. And here I was thinking it was a traumatic guy, you know, that got a head injury.
I thought he was like a Sling Blade guy.
He kind of is. He's got Alzheimer's, obviously.
You, isn't this the most impossible show to figure out if you've ever tried to watch it?
And I got like the first two episodes, and I got the rest of them TiVo'd, and I haven't jumped in. I like the fact that he says it gets a little better.
A lot more gets explained in episode 3. It answers a lot of your questions about Bill, and he gets into a great, great argument with his parakeet. It's just fantastic. He's a great actor.
Mike, I've seen all 5. I still don't follow it.
It is confusing.
I still don't
and
understand.
You know, it's, but you know what's great about a show like that? If you make the effort, and you know, you're like me. I mean, you know, it's entertainment. You don't know if you want to hang on. But I think if this one, if you make the effort, it's worth it.
You know, it's a good thing to save in your DVR when there's nothing on.
Right.
You know, you put it on, you go, hey, this is not a bad show.
He's right about David Milch. And listen for this when you watch the show next time. Listen for the kind of dialogue that you used to hear on NYPD Blue, where the characters would drop certain words from their sentences that we're used to using. Very odd phrasing that David Milch. You'll hear that NYPD Blue talk in John from Cincinnati.
Let's be careful out there. I remember that from NYPD.
Give us an example, Buzz.
It was Hill Street Blues.
It was Hill Street Blues.
Let's see.
Early dementia.
You know what I'm talking about.
Thank you, Rob. That's what we wanted was the example of early dementia.
We
just got it.
I remember that from Captain Kangaroo.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Jesus. All right there, Curly Pube. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go.
This is the Don and Mike Show.